My name is Lida Harris. I recently finished my PhD at University of Washington in marine microplastics. And right now I am a postdoctoral microplastic fellow at the Seattle Aquarium, which is really neat because when I started this journey 6 years ago, there were no jobs for me. This wasn't a field that people invested in. It wasn't a field that people cared about. So I think I really lucked out. And so a lot of what I do focuses on pollution in the local Salish Sea. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with where the Salish Sea is, it is the body of water just outside of Tacoma, Olympia, and Seattle, Washington. It also borders Victoria and Vancouver, Canada, also known as the Puget Sound. So a lot of what I do works with organisms. So looking at organism physiology, looking at the ecosystem level impacts, contamination on a spatial and a temporal scale, and then how research contributes to policies. So what is microplastics? Microplastic isn't necessarily the plastic that we see every day. It is the tiny, tiny plastic particles. So plastic that's less than 5 millimeters in size. So that's the size of the like very end of your fingernail or a sesame seed. What do those look like? So I study a lot of these types of particles, and most of my time is spent looking at a microscope. And so underneath a microscope, these types of plastics can take a lot of different shapes and colors. And so the four different types of shapes that we're seeing are fiber, film, fragment, and sphere. And so one question is potentially, where are these coming from? And you might look at this and say, oh, those look a lot different than what I expected microplastics to look like, or, oh, those look a lot different than, you know, this like plastic SodaStream bottle that I have next to me. And it's because they constantly are breaking down into smaller and smaller pieces. And so they might start out as larger things. And so if we think about what microplastic pollution is, what it is and where it comes from, as I mentioned, I live in the Pacific Northwest. So I love everything Pacific Northwest, including hiking mountains and kayaking in the waters and the environment, everything. That's the entirety of me. But my jacket is now made out of plastic. My pants are made out of plastic. My super sturdy mountaineering boots are made out of plastic. We're finding plastic in our table salt. We're finding it in our water. We're finding it in our salt water, just full of jokes today. I play Frisbee. I am constantly just chasing plastic my entire day. And we're even finding it in the beer that we're drinking. So it is very ubiquitous in our system. We're finding it literally every place that we're looking. Everything that we're consuming today ends up making microplastics in the future. As the field of marine microplastics grow, it is doubling every 1.3 years, which is wild. And so just think about 1.3 years ago, that's less than the pandemic. We have double the number of papers today than we did in March of 2020. We know twice as many things. And one of those key driving factors are organisms. And so when we think about the ocean, there's lots of little things that live in the ocean. There's mussels, which I'm going to be talking about a lot. There's things like salmon and larvae of fish and zooplankton and different algae, but there's also microplastics floating around in that algae. And so there's a lot of different food levels or levels of, they're called trophic levels, so levels of consumption that are potentially affected. And these things don't exist in a vacuum. They exist really connected to one another. And so if perhaps the mussel is affected, that has a potentially cascading effect on a fish or on things that live into the sediment and then subsequently into zooplankton, copepods, and larval fishes as well. And so when we're talking about all of these things, it's not just, oh, the salmon, oh, the orcas, oh, the cute little sea otters. We're not talking about just those things, but perhaps that's what we're studying. We're talking about the system as a whole. And so when you just think about like a healthy water, healthy body of water, you expect that there's going to be algae in it. Algae are autotrophs. So they're producing all of their own energy. They're producing everything that they need to survive. And a mussel comes along, which is called a heterotroph, meaning that it it needs to eat something else. And so it eats the algae, which is great. Mussels love algae. Mussels, when you're farming them or they're living in the wild, they live in really dense populations. And so if you've never seen a mussel farm, they're grown in, at least on the West Coast, they're grown in lines underwater that extend from like the surface down to probably 30 feet underwater, or they're on the coastal habitats and they're in these really, really dense populations. And so when you look at these pictures, it's not just mussels that are growing there. There's barnacles in here. There's algae in here. There's probably some sea stars in there. There's a jellyfish right here. There's all sorts of things that rely on these communities. So mussels are really, really good at examining. So we can see the potential effects on other organisms as well on, as on the water, because in these big communities, they're constantly filtering the water. And so perhaps you've heard of the Chesapeake Bay and the oysters that live in the Chesapeake Bay. I think that's probably the most famous example, is that the oysters are turning over and cleaning the water in the Chesapeake Bay. Like, once they're able to filter all of the water, like once a day, a crazy amount. Mussels do the same thing. And so the more mussels you have, potentially the more cleaner the water is. And so going back to our diagram, we can study how microplastic affects mussels, and then down the line, what the effects may or may not be. And so when we think about microplastics, great, we have microplastics in the water column, microplastics in the water, they're everywhere. If mussels are feeding on microplastics, if they're present in the water, they're going to be feeding on microplastics. We've been able to demonstrate that the clearance rate or the filtration rate of these mussels decreases. So they're not able to filter as much water in a given amount of time as they would in non-polluted water. Great. So the takeaway from that is, okay, so our water might not be as clean. The second takeaway is mussels have microplastics in them, like everything else. But that doesn't really send any sort of message unless you're a shellfish grower or really concerned about water quality. But as these mussels are ingesting the microplastics and clearing water at a slower rate, they're also producing poop, and that poop sinks down. But when it has microplastics in it, microplastics tend to be lighter than water. And so it decreases the sinking rate. So it actually makes them more buoyant, so they stay in the water column longer. Conversely, it increases resuspension. So sinking rate is the propensity for something to go down. Resuspension is something to go up. And so it just means these two things together, these poop particles with microplastics in them, now just spend more time in the water column, where things like copepods or larval fish or salmon, where they're trying to get their nutrients and their food. And if I ever show you a picture of some mussel poop, you'll realize it looks a lot like a lot of things that these organisms are eating. Looks just like some algae, or it looks just like some copepods. And so they're going along similar to the sea turtle eating plastic bags when it thinks it's jellyfish, and just consuming it. So if we go one step further, we're finding that although mussels do have microplastics in them pretty unanimously across the world, you know, we found microplastics in mussels in the West Coast, in the East Coast, in Europe, in China, in Australia, everywhere. There's relatively low amounts of concentrations and like contaminations. And so these mussels are really good at filtering out what they want and what they don't want. And so a lot of these particles may end up back into the environment rather than sequestered within the mussel itself. So taking all of those pieces together, we have a decreased clearance rate. So they're cleaning the water less efficiently. Their poop is remaining in the water column, and they're not very contaminated. So that's good news on the shellfish front if you're eating shellfish. bad news if you're pretty much any other organism, because you're probably going to come along and eat it, and your water probably isn't as clean as it once was. But the upshot of this, have to end on like a positive note, maybe, is that the national publications and policies are increasing. So the quantity that countries are publishing on marine microplastic and passing national plastic bans is increasing substantially.